الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. We'd like to begin this afternoon in this the last session, inshallah, of the explanation or the brief commentary on the hadith from Bulugh al-Maram by Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahimahullah from the chapter Kitab As-Siyam. And in the previous lecture, we discussed the chapter concerning Al-I'tikaf and the prayer of the night in Ramadan. Due to the need to discuss that before the last 10 days of Ramadan pass us by. So we will return now to the section which we have skipped, and that is the section entitled Bab Sawm At-Tatawwur Wa Ma Nuhya An Sawmihi. And these hadith which we'll take from this chapter, insha'Allah, are from hadith number 552 until the end of this section, until we reach the chapter of I'tikaf which we took last week. The chapter concerning voluntary fasting, Sawm At-Tatawwur, voluntary fasting, وَمَا نُهِيَ عَنْ سَوْمِهِ, and that which the fasting or the days which fasting has been prohibited during them. Yani those days during which fasting is prohibited. Voluntary fasting and the days during which fasting is prohibited. The first hadith, hadith number 552. عن أبي قتادة الأنصاري رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سئل عن صوم يوم عرفة. أبو قتادة الأنصاري, may Allah be pleased with him, mentioned or narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, he was questioned about fasting the day of Arafah. The day of Arafah, meaning the ninth day of Dhul-Hijjah, the main day of the rites of Hajj or pilgrimage. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was questioned about fasting on that day, the day of Arafah. فَقَالَ يُكَفِّرُوا السَّنَةَ الْمَاضِيَةَ وَالْبَاقِيَةَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that fasting the day of Arafah, that it expiates, yani it's an expiation for the sins from the previous year, the past year and the coming year. It is an expiation for the sins of the past year, those sins which the person has committed in the past year, as well as the sins of the coming year. Some of the scholars said that the meaning of the sins of the coming year, it means, since they have not yet been committed, the coming year, some scholars said it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that person the success to do that which would expiate whatever sins they commit in the coming year. That He would give them the success of doing those things which will remove those sins. And some scholars said that He would give them the success of avoiding falling into those sins for the following year. In any case, the obvious meaning of the hadith is that the fasting of this day, the day of Arafah, the ninth of Dhul-Hijjah, that it is a tremendously rewardable fast. It means that a person's sins would be forgiven for the previous year and the coming year. And this fast of the day of Arafah, it is for those who are not performing pilgrimage. Most of the scholars have agreed that the fasting on the day of Arafat is for those who are not performing the pilgrimage. As for those who are performing the pilgrimage, That will be discussed in the end of this chapter in the hadith concerning the prohibition of fasting on Arafah, meaning prohibition of fasting for those who are performing Hajj and they are on Arafat on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, whether or not it is allowed for them to fast. However, the fasting that is mentioned here on the day of Arafat is for those who are not performing the pilgrimage. وَسُئِلَ عَنْ صِيَامِ يَوْمِ عَاشُورَ. The Prophet ﷺ was also asked about the fasting of the day of Ashura, yani the 10th of Muharram, the 10th day of the month of Muharram, the first year of the Muslim calendar. فَقَالَ يُكَفِّرُ السَّنَةَ الْمَاضِيَةَ. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the fast of the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, that it expiates the sins from the previous year. وَسُئِلَ عَنْ سَوْمِ يَوْمِ الْإِثْنَيْنِ. And then he was asked about the fasting of يَوْمُ الْإِثْنَيْنِ, Monday. فَقَالَ ذَلِكَ يَوْمٌ وُلِدْتُ فِيهِ وَبُعِثْتُ فِيهِ وَأُنْزِلَ عَلَيَّ فِيهِ. He said concerning يوم الاثنين, Monday, he said that is the day in which I was born. And it is the day in which I was missioned, yani commissioned with prophethood. And it is the day in which the revelation came to me, yani the day in which the Quran was revealed to him. رواه مسلم. This hadith is reported by Al-Imam Muslim رحمه الله. There's another hadith which Al-Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani رحمه الله has not mentioned here related to this topic, and there's no contradiction between this final part of the hadith and the hadith of Usama رضي الله عنه concerning the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم about يوم الاثنين, the fasting of يوم الاثنين. He said يوم تعرض فيه الأعمال, يعني it is a day in which the deeds of a person are presented, yani in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said that he loves to be fasting, or he loves to be in the condition of fasting at the time when his deeds are being presented. Also it should be noted that in the authentic hadith it has been reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that if he had lived until the following year, then he would definitely have fasted the ninth of Muharram. Therefore, it is considered to be from the Sunnah, and it is highly recommended that the fasting of the 10th of Muharram should be accompanied by fasting the previous day, that is the 9th, and that is what is reported in the authentic hadith. Some of the scholars said that this is so that, yani as a precaution, in case the calculation of the day, yani the sighting of the moon or otherwise, was incorrect, to fast both of these days is a precautionary measure to make sure that one has caught that day. Or the other reasoning that some of the scholars have given is in order to oppose and to differ from the way of the Jews who used to fast the day of Ashura. From this hadith we understand, number one, that it is mustahab, commendable, to fast on the day of Arafat for those who are not performing pilgrimage. As for those who are performing pilgrimage, then it is considered by some of the scholars as being forbidden, and some said it is detestable or makruh, and some said that it is not a desirable act. Also, the fasting of Yawm Ashura, that is the 10th of Muharram, and Yawm al-Ithnain, that these are also commendable or praiseworthy days to fast for all of the people, yani not related to Hajj. The second point is that the fasting of the day of Arafat, it is preferable and more meritorious than the fast of the day of Ashura. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that the fasting of the day of Ashura, it expiates the sins from the previous year, or the fasting of Arafat expiates the sins of 2 years, the previous year and the coming year. Finally, it is mentioned and it is understood from this hadith, though it is not that which is directly mentioned in the wording of the hadith, that it is expected that a person should remember the day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon them a blessing, that they could remember that day by fasting that day or doing some deed by which they could get near to Allah to show their appreciation. That is what has been mentioned in the sharh of the hadith. However, we might add to it another point, and that is the discussion of the scholars concerning the sins that are forgiven from the previous year or the coming year. Many of the scholars said that it means the minor sins, and we have mentioned this previously, that there is difference of opinion about this. However, the apparent meaning of the hadith is that one's sins are forgiven. one's sins are forgiven. However, yani it is a majority opinion that the sins which are forgiven are the minor sins, whereas major sins have to be removed by repentance. The next hadith, hadith number 553, وعن أبي أيوب الأنصاري رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من صام رمضان ثم أتبعه ستا من شوال كانت كالصيام الدهر. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever fasts Ramadan, man sama Ramadan, meaning the whole month of Ramadan, all of it, whether it is 29 or 30 days. ثم أتبعه ستاً من شوال. And then they followed the completion of the fast of Ramadan with 6 days from the month of Shawwal, the following month, كانت كالصيام الدهر. It is as though they have fasted for the whole year, or for a whole year. And here it is important to note that the strongest opinion of the scholars is that the reward that is mentioned in this hadith, it is based on the person having fasted Ramadan, meaning the whole of the month of Ramadan, and then fasting the voluntary fast of 6 days of Shawwal, not those who have missed some days of Ramadan, avoiding completing those days and then fasting the voluntary fast of Shawwal while they haven't completed the obligatory fast of Ramadan, either due to sickness or traveling or whatever. But in fact, the obligatory fast should be completed first, and then the voluntary fast is secondary. This hadith has been reported by Al-Imam Muslim. In the making up of that fast, it has been mentioned that what is derived from this hadith is that it is mustahab to fast the 6 days from the month of Shawwal, and that fasting, it can be done consecutively or individual days. It can be done in the beginning of the month, yani after the day of Eid, the first of Shawwal, starting from the second of Shawwal, because it's not allowed to fast on the day of Eid. It can be done from the beginning of the month, or from the middle of the month, or from the end of the month. The important thing is that 6 days from the month of Shawwal should be fasted, whether they are consecutive or whether they are separate. And also, some of the scholars have mentioned in the explanation of this hadith, that this hadith is not a proof that it is legislated to fast the whole of the year, every day, without breaking fast. Yani this hadith is not a proof of that. This hadith is a proof that whoever fasts the month of Ramadan and follows it with 6 days of Shawwal, they will get the reward for fasting the whole year. That means that this act, it eliminates the need for somebody to fast daily for the whole year, which is not legislated in Islam, as will come in a hadith as we go further on. It is not legislated to fast every day, but the reward for fasting every day is given to the one who has performed this act of fasting 6 days of Shawwal after the completion of the 29 or 30 days of Ramadan. Hadith number 554, وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من عبد يصوم يوما في سبيل الله إلا بعد الله بذلك اليوم عن وجهه النار 70 خريفا. متفق عليه واللفظ لمسلم. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is no one of the servants of Allah, ma min abdin, no one who fasts a day fi sabilillah, yani while in jihad. There is no one who fasts a day fi sabilillah while he is in jihad in the way of Allah. And some of the scholars said that fi sabilillah, it may also mean yani whoever fasts for the sake of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah. However, what is understood by most of the scholars is that when this expression fi sabilillah is used in the absolute sense, it means jihad. He said there is no one who fasts one day while he is in the way of Allah in jihad, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would remove his face from the fire due to the fast of that day, 70, that which is equivalent to 70 years, the distance of 70 years. He would remove that person's face from the fire the distance of 70 years due to the fast of that one day. And this is an indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would protect that person from the punishment of the fire. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and the exact wording that is given here is from Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah. From this hadith we understand the merit of fasting while one is in jihad, with the condition that it doesn't cause the weakening of their body such that they are not able to face the enemy in the battlefield. However, if the person would become weakened by fasting, then what is preferable is that they break the fast. Hadith number 555, وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم حتى نقول لا يفطر ويفطر حتى نقول لا يصوم. Aisha رضي الله عنها, she said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to fast so much to such an extent that we used to say he will not break his fast. And meaning that he used to fast every day sometime for a long period of time, fasting consecutive every day, until they thought that he would never stop fasting, those daily fasts. And then on other occasions, he used to break his fast. Yani he used to go without fasting for such a long time that they used to say that he will not fast. وَمَا رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ اِسْتَقْمَلَ سِيَامَ شَهْرٍ قَطْ إِلَّا رَمَضَانٍ وَمَا رَأَيْتُهُ فِي شَهْرٍ أَكْثَرَ مِنْهُ سِيَامًا فِي شَعْبَانٍ. And she said that I have not seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam completing the fast of a whole month except the fast of Ramadan. And I have not seen him fasting more in any month. Yani other than Ramadan, I have not seen him fasting any month more than he fasted in the month of Sha'ban. Muttafaqun alayh, reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim, wallab li-Muslim. And the exact wording is from al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah. From this hadith, it is understood that it is commendable and praiseworthy and meritorious to fast the month of Sha'ban more than other months, yani other than Ramadan. Because, as it has been mentioned in an authentic hadith, that the deeds of a person is raised up to Allah in this month, yani in the month of Sha'ban. And that hadith is the hadith reported by An-Nasa'i and Abu Dawood, and it has been authenticated by Ibn Khuzaymah from Usama ibn Zayd. He said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, I don't see you fasting in any month of all of the months. I don't see you fasting more than you fast in Sha'ban, meaning other than Ramadan. And he said, the Prophet ﷺ said, that is because it is a month that the people forget about between Rajab and Ramadan. Because the people are engaged in the month of Rajab and in the month of Ramadan, then they have forgotten about Sha'ban. So the Prophet ﷺ said that this is the month that the people forget. Yani forget about worshipping Allah. They are not engaged so much in worshipping Allah. And it is the month in which deeds are raised up to the Lord of the world. And therefore I love that my deeds would be raised up while I am fasting. Also from this hadith, we understand that the best fast after the fast of Ramadan is the fast of the month of Sha'ban. And some of the scholars said that it might appear to be a conflict between this hadith and the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the best fast after Ramadan is Muharram. And the scholars said that the explanation of this is that the best fast is the month of Muharram, means of the sacred months, of the four sacred months. While the general meaning of the best of fasting, or the best of fasting in general overall after Ramadan, is Sha'ban, and Allah knows best. Hadith number 556, وَعَنْ أَبِي ذَرْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ أَمَرَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنْ نَسُومَ مِنَ الشَّهْرِ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ ثَلَاثَ عَشْرَةَ وَأَرْبَعَ عَشْرَةَ وَخَمْسَ عَشْرَةَ. رواه النسائي والترمذي وصححه ابن حبان. يعني أبو ذر رضي الله عنه, he said that the Messenger of Allah commanded us, he ordered us that we fast 3 days from every month. It is a voluntary fast, it is not obligatory. But the meaning here is that it was strong encouragement. It was strong encouragement that we should fast from every month at least 3 days. And he named those 3 days in this hadith to be the 13th, 14th and 15th. Ayyam al-Bid, and in the days in which the sky is bright in the night due to the fullness of the moon, in the middle of the month, 13th, 14th, and 15th. This hadith is reported by An-Nasa'i and At-Tirmidhi, and Ibn Hibban declared it to be sahih. And the hadith is sahih indeed, as it has been, the chain of narratives in At-Tirmidhi has been declared by contemporary as well as earlier scholars. From this hadith, we understand that it is mustahab or commendable that a person should fast 3 days from every month. That one should fast 3 days in every month. It is commendable, it is praiseworthy. And those days that the Prophet ﷺ has recommended in this hadith is the middle of the month, the 13th, 14th, and 15th. Likewise, it has been reported authentically, and though it's not mentioned here in the text of the book, but it has been reported authentically in the Sunan of Abu Dawood, the Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah declared the hadith to be hasan, that sometimes the Prophet ﷺ used to fast on Monday and Thursday of 1 week, and on the next Monday of the following week. Then he used to not only fast 13th, 14th, 15th, but sometimes he would fast on other days, 3 days other than 13th, 14th, 15th. Then he would fast on Monday and Thursday, and then in the following week on a Monday, making the 3 days for that month. Hadith number 557. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يحل لامرأتي أن تصوم وزوجها شاهد إلا بإذنه. متفق عليه واللفظ للبخاري وزاد أبو داود غير رمضان. يعني أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه, he said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that it is not lawful, it is not permissible that a woman should fast while her husband is present unless she has taken his permission. It is not permissible for a woman to fast while her husband is present unless she has taken his permission. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The wording is from Al-Bukhari. And in the narration of Abu Dawood, the words are added غير رمضان, يعني other than Ramadan. In Ramadan, it is obligatory fasting, and therefore she doesn't have to take her husband's permission, but she is obligated to fast, whether he is in agreement or not. But voluntary fast, she should take permission from her husband. From this hadith, we understand that it is not permissible for the woman to fast, a voluntary fast, without her husband's permission, and if she does so, it is sinful. It is sinful. Number two, that fulfilling the rights of her husband has preference over voluntary fasting. Over voluntary fasting. Number three, that it is obligatory on the woman to fast Ramadan, even if her husband is not agreeable to it. And likewise, by qiyas, some of the scholars said that it is obligatory on her to fast the days that she has to make up from Ramadan, even if her husband is not agreeable to it. While some scholars said that it is preferable that the woman should take permission from her husband even for the days obligatory fast that she has to make up later, as long as there's plenty of time for her to do it. However, if the time is short, and it is close to the following Ramadan coming, then in that case she doesn't have to take permission from her husband. And it is not recommended to take permission from her husband in that case, but it is, she is encouraged to fast that obligatory fast before the time for it is finished. Hadith number 558. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن صيام يومين يوم الفطر ويوم النحر متفق عليه. البخاري ومسلم have reported the hadith from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited fasting 2 days. That is the day of Fitr, the day of Eid al-Fitr, and it's the first day of Shawwal after the fast of Ramadan, and يوم النحر, the day of sacrifice, the day when the animals are sacrificed by the pilgrimage, by those people who are performing pilgrimage, the pilgrims who are in Hajj. That is the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. These 2 days are the 2 days of Eid for the Muslims. There are 2 days. One day is Eid al-Fitr and one day is Eid al-Adha, as it has been clearly stated in the Hadith. He has prohibited 2 days, the day of Fitr and the day of Nahr, that is Eid al-Adha. These days are prohibited from fasting because they are the days of Eid, and the days of Eid are days of eating and drinking, and one should not fast on those days. From this hadith, we understand that it is prohibited to fast the day of Fitr and the day of Adha, according to the majority of scholars. And they held that even if a person vowed, made a vow to fast, and when one makes a vow, it becomes obligatory. When they have made it obligatory on themselves by vowing, then they have to fulfill their vow, unless it is a vow of disobedience. But even if a person has vowed to fast in those days, then that vow is not effective. It is not effective, because it is a vow to do that which is prohibited. Hadith number 559, وَعَنْ نُبَيْشَ الْهُذَلِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَيَّامُ التَّشْرِيكِ أَيَّامُ أَكْلٍ وَشُرْبٍ وَذِكْرٍ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ رواه مسلم. In this hadith, Imam Muslim rahimahullah has reported from Nubaysha al-Hudhali radiyallahu anhu, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the Messenger of Allah has said that the days of Tashriq, Ayyam al-Tashriq, there are 3 days, yani after the day of sacrifice, after the 10th, the days of the 11th, 12th, and 13th of Dhul-Hijjah, after the day of sacrifice. In these 3 days, Ayyam al-Tashriq, the Prophet ﷺ said that these are days of eating and drinking and remembering Allah the Mighty and the Majestic. Yani in some of the hadith, it is, these days are described as days of Eid. Just like, and the ruling concerning them then is similar to the day of Eid al-Adha and the day of Eid al-Fitr. That is, these days are days of rejoicing and they are not days when one should be fasting. The following hadith is related to the same topic. It is the hadith of Aisha wa Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with both of them. قال لم يرخص في أيام التشريك أن يصمنا إلا لمن لم يجد الهدي رواه البخاري. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله narrates this hadith from Aisha and Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhum that they said لم يرخص, yani permission or allowance has not been given في أيام التشريك, in the days of Tashriq, 11th, 12th and 13th of Dhul-Hijjah. Permission has not been given in these days to fast, except for the one who doesn't find a sacrificial animal. And except for the pilgrim who is not able to afford a sacrificial animal, and if it is obligatory on them to fast, such as the person who is performing tamattu, or the person who is performing qiran, then in that case, if they are not able to make the sacrifice, then they are allowed to fast. Yani no permission has been given to fast the days of Tashriq, except the one who cannot find a sacrificial animal, meaning that there is an exception for them, that they might fast on those days. Yani because the one who doesn't make the sacrifice has to fast 3 days during Hajj and 7 days when they return home. Therefore, a permission has been given, especially for them to fast, even in these days in which fasting is normally not to be performed. However, the wording of this hadith, from the wording of this hadith, the scholars have differed. لم يرخص, permission has not been given. This expression doesn't indicate whether it is from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who has made the exception for those to fast who cannot find the sacrificial animal. Some of the scholars said that it has to be marfu'an, attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though it hasn't been mentioned specifically. And other scholars said it is not so. It is possible that they could have understood this from the verses of Quran that mention those who cannot find an animal, that they should fast for 10 days, 3 days during Hajj, and 7 days when they return home. From these ayats, they may have understood that the one who cannot find a sacrificial animal is allowed to fast those 3 days. Because there's difference of opinion concerning this matter, whether or not it is actually yani a permission from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or was it the ijtihad of Aisha radiallahu anha and Abdul ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. For that reason, there's difference of opinion concerning this matter. However, the previous hadith, it is very clear in the previous hadith that Ayyam al-Tashriq, that one should not fast in those days. Therefore, those who held this this statement to be marfu'an, attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they said that no one should fast according to the previous hadith and according to this hadith, with the exception of those who are required to fast because of not performing the sacrifice. So from this hadith it is said that it is prohibited. It is absolutely prohibited to fast during the days of Tashriq, and this is according to a group of the scholars from amongst them, Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, and that it is prohibited for anyone to fast during the days of Tashriq. However, those who understand this hadith to be marfu' and attributed to the Prophet, they said that it is prohibited to fast except for those who have been given a special permission in this statement of Aisha radiallahu anha and Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. The second point is that the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, this second hadith, it indicates that it is permissible to fast in these days for the one who has not found a sacrificial animal, who was not able to afford it. And a third opinion concerning this matter is that it is absolutely permissible to fast in these days. However, this opinion has no legitimate basis. In that case, the fasting during Ayyam al-Tashriq, it is not allowed. According to the best of the opinions, it is not allowed except for those who are compelled to fast 3 days during Hajj and during the pilgrimage due to the fact that they were unable to perform a sacrifice. Hadith number 561, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تخصوا ليلة الجمعة بقيام من بين الليالي ولا تخصوا يوم الجمعة بصيام من بين الأيام إلا أن يكون في صوم يصومه أحدكم رواه مسلم. الإمام مسلم رحمه الله narrated this hadith from Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that one should not single out the day of Jumu'ah, Friday. One should not single out this day بقيام, يعني by performing the Salat al-Qiyam or the prayer in the night, standing in the night, especially on the night of Jumu'ah. It should not be singled out as a special night from amongst the other nights. Nor should one single out the day of Jumu'ah for fasting from amongst the other days of the week. Except the one who used to fast a certain fast regularly, and that fast came on the day of Jumu'ah, then there is no harm in doing so. Otherwise, the day of Jumu'ah should not be singled out, either for praying in the night, yani the night before Jumu'ah, nor for fasting in the day. The exception for fasting on the day of Jumu'ah is the one who used to fast normally a certain day, for example, 13th, 14th, 15th, they used to fast every month, and one of those days came on Jumu'ah, there's no harm in doing so or otherwise. Yani as long as it was a regular fast that that person used to stick to all the time. From this hadith we understand that it is prohibited to single out the night of Jumu'ah for standing in prayer in the night, or the day of Jumu'ah for fasting, except for the one who normally used to fast a particular day, and they would still fast it even if it happened to come on a Jumu'ah. This is the minority opinion, however it is the apparent meaning of the clear wording of the hadith, while the majority of scholars held that the fasting, singling out Jumu'ah for fasting, that it is only makruh, it is something detestable but not absolutely haram. The minority opinion is closer to the apparent meaning of the hadith, and therefore is preferable that one should not single out Jumu'ah for fasting, except as mentioned in the hadith, if they normally used to fast, a fast that fell on Jumu'ah. Also, it has been mentioned in the discussion of this hadith, a hadith which is fabricated, and it is that Salat al-Raga'ib fi awwal laylati Jumu'ah min Rajab, that the first night of Jumu'ah during the month of Rajab, that there is a Salat called Salat al-Raga'ib, and it was, even though that hadith is not authentic, some people, believing it to be from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, encouraged fasting or encouraged praying in the night, praying during that night, the first night or the first night of Jumu'ah in the month of Rajab. However, This hadith indicates that Jummah should not be singled out, not for fasting nor for praying in the night. And therefore, from this we know this is an indication that this practice is unacceptable and it is not according to the Sunnah. And the fact that the hadith is fabricated mawdu'ah is also proof that it is not permissible, that it is an innovation. Hadith number 562, وَعَنْهُ, that is عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, لَا يَصُومَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ يَوْمَ الْجُمُعَةِ إِلَّا أَنْ يَصُومَ يَوْمًا قَبْلَهُ أَوْ يَوْمًا بَعْدَهُ, مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. البخاري and Muslim, رحمه الله, they have collected this hadith in their two sahihs from Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited any one of you to fast the day of Jummah. لا يصومن أحدكم, no one of you, absolutely no one of you should fast the day of Jummah except that he fast a day before it or a day after it. متفقون عليه. يعني if anybody wanted to fast the day of Jummah, they shouldn't single it out as mentioned in the previous hadith. But what is allowed is if they fast the day before it or the day after it, so that Jummah will not be singled out as a special day of fasting. But one may fast Yawm al-Khamis and Yawm al-Jummah together, or Yawm al-Jummah and Yawm al-Sabt together, and joining Jummah with the day before it or the day after it, in that case, it is permissible. From this, we understand the permissibility of fasting the day of Jummah as long as it is coupled with the day before it or the day after it. And whoever intended or began to fast the day of Jummah, if they came to know this, then they should break their fast. It is obligatory and it is not allowed that one should single out the day of Jummah alone. There is an authentic hadith also related to this point, and it is the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and others from Juwayriya radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to her one day, it was Jummah, and she was fasting, and he asked her, did you fast yesterday? She said, no. He said, will you fast tomorrow? She said, no. Then he ordered her, then break your fast. And showing that it is not permissible, but whoever is fasting without the intention of fasting the following day, and they have not fasted the previous day, then they must break their fast. Hadith number 563, وَعَنْهُ, that is Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, إذا انتصف شعبان فلا تصوموا, رواه الخمسة واستنكره أحمد. And in this hadith, it is reported from Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that if you reach the middle of Sha'ban, and in the middle of the month of Sha'ban, فَلَا تَصُومُوا, then do not fast. And you don't fast after in the second half of Sha'ban. The first half of Sha'ban, it is commendable to fast in it. However, if you have reached the middle of Sha'ban, then one should not fast after that. This hadith is reported by Al-Khamsa, that is Al-Imam Ahmed in his Musnad, and the four Sunan Abu Dawud, Al-Tirmidhi, Al-Nasai, and Ibn Majah, rahimahumullah, wastanqarahu Ahmed. And Al-Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, considered this hadith to be munkar, yani rejected. He didn't accept it. He didn't consider this hadith to be authentic. However, the stronger opinion of the scholars concerning this, from amongst the earlier scholars, those who narrated, Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi clearly stated that the hadith is Hasan Sahih, that it is a good hadith. And of the later day scholars, Shaykh al-Albani has also declared that hadith to be Sahih, with a lengthy discussion concerning the difference of opinion of the scholars about this hadith. And of the proofs that show the permissibility, and at least in some cases of fasting after the second half of Sha'ban or during the second half of Sha'ban, is the hadith we took in the beginning of this section of Kitab al-Siyam, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that no one of you should precede Ramadan, should fast just before Ramadan, the day before or 2 days before, except the one who used to fast regularly a certain day, and it came the day or 2 days before Ramadan, then they may fast it. And this is a proof that if somebody, at least in the one that used to fast regularly, even in the second half of Sha'ban, it is permissible to fast, if they used to fast that day regularly. In that case, from this hadith we understand that it is prohibited to fast in the second half of Sha'ban, except the one who fasts a day in the second half of Sha'ban that came at a time that he normally used to fast. And some of the scholars said that the reasoning for the prohibition of fasting the second half of Ramadan is so that the person will be strong and they will not be weakened by fasting the whole of Sha'ban and then not being able to complete the fast of Ramadan. Hadith number 564. وعن صماء بنت بصر رضي الله عنها. May Allah be pleased with her. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. That the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا تصوموا يوم السبت إلا فيما افترض عليكم. That you should not fast the Yom al-Sabt, that is Saturday, except if the Saturday was from amongst those days that have been made obligatory on you. Any Saturday that came in Ramadan, or Saturday that came at a time that the person was obligated to fast. وَإِن لَمْ يَجِدْ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَّا لَحَاءَ عِنَبٍ أَوْ عُودَ شَجَرَةٍ فَلْيَمْضُغْهَا. The Prophet ﷺ emphasized the point of not fasting Saturday, singling out Saturday alone as a day of fasting, to the extent that he said that if one of you was fasting, came at the day when it was Saturday, and they didn't even find anything to eat except the skin of a grape or a twig from a tree, then he should bite on it or chew on it in order that he wouldn't be fasting on Saturday. رواه الخمسة ورجاله ثقات إلا أنه مضطرب وقد أنكره مالك وقال أبو داود هو منسوخ. This hadith has a lengthy discussion about it. In a number of books, the scholars have discussed this hadith. Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani رحمه الله has summarized much of what has been said about it in these words: رواه الخمسة, that it is reported by the five, Imam Ahmed, Abu Dawood, Al-Tirmidhi, Al-Nasai, and Ibn Majah. And the narrators of its chain, رِجَالُهُ ثِقَاتْ, the chain of narrators, the people who are in that chain, they are acceptable, they are reliable, they are ثِقَاتْ, يعني reliable narrators. Except, Al-Hafiz, rahimahullah, says, except that the hadith is مُضْطَرِبْ. And this was the opinion of Al-Imam Al-Nasai concerning this hadith. Al-Nasai, rahimahullah, said that the hadith is مُضْطَرِبْ. And the scholars, many of them have discussed it, some of them showing that the hadith is indeed a authentic hadith, and from amongst them, yani a collection of the sayings of the scholars concerning this has been made by Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah. He has discussed what many of the scholars said concerning this hadith, those who considered it to be authentic, and that it is not muttarib. And by the way, if you look in the index of the words, of the technical terminology in the back of the book, you will find that muttarib, it is a hadith which has been narrated in more than one narration with contradictory wording, or contradictory or asanid chains of narration that cannot be reconciled. Yani the wording of the hadith is contradictory, or the chains of narration, yani, cannot be reconciled, they cannot match. And likewise, it should be those narrations are equal in strength, such that not one of them can be given preference over the other. And if we find a hadith that has been narrated in a contradictory fashion, and we cannot reconcile between them, we cannot explain the contradiction away, and both of them are equal in strength in terms of their authenticity, so that we cannot give preference to one over another, then we say this hadith is muttarib, meaning that it is, we cannot accept one or the other narration, therefore we reject it, and we don't act upon it unless reconciliation can be made, or it can be shown that one is stronger than the other. In that case, if we make reconciliation, then we can accept both of them. Or if we show that one is stronger than the other, then we will reject the weaker one and act according to the stronger one. In any case, Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah has discussed this hadith and what the scholars have said about it, and he has shown that the hadith is not muttarib, but that there is a narration which is stronger than the others, and that narration is sahih, as even al-Hafiz says here, rijaluhu thiqat, and al-Imam Nawawi said concerning this hadith that we cannot accept the statement of al-Imam Malik concerning the rejection of hadith, while the imams of the scholars of hadith, they have considered it to be sahih. And he is referring here to what al-Hafiz mentioned during the statement. He said, وَقَدْ أَنْكَرَهُ مَالِكِ, yani that al-Imam Malik rejected this hadith. In fact, he said, it is kadhib, it is a lie. However, al-Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, said that we cannot accept this statement, while the imams of hadith have declared this hadith to be sahih. And from amongst those who declared it to be sahih is al-Imam Hakim, and al-Imam al-Dhahabi, and al-Imam al-Darqutni, and Abdul Haq al-Ashbili, and other scholars. They have examined this hadith and examined its chain of narration and declared it to be sahih and the correct opinion. Allah knows best than to single out Saturday as a day of fasting, except the one who is fasting an obligatory fast that fell on a Saturday. The next hadith, it is related to this same topic. It is hadith number 565 عن أم سلمة رضي الله عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثر ما كان يصوم من الأيام يوم السبت ويوم الأحد وكان يقول إنهما يوم عيد للمشركين وأنا أريد أن أخالفهم. That أم سلمة رضي الله عنها said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم that the most he used to fast of days of fasting was Saturday and Sunday, يوم السبت ويوم الأحد. He used to fast those days more than other days. And he used to say that these 2 days, they are 2 days of Eid for the mushrikeen, for the pagans, and therefore I intend or I desire or I want to act contrary to them, to oppose them. So I will fast in those days that are their days of Eid. This hadith has been reported by An-Nasa'i, وَصَحَّحَهُ إِبْنُ خُزَيْمَةَ وَهَذَا لَفْظُهُ, يعني it has been declared authentic by Ibn Khuzaymah, and the wording of this hadith is from Ibn Khuzaymah, and it has also been narrated by Ibn Hibban and Al-Hakim, and from amongst the scholars, Shaykh Al-Albani mentioned that Abdul Haq Al-Ashbili in his book Al-Ahkam Al-Wusta said that this hadith is da'if, and he said that this is the stronger opinion to me also, that the hadith is da'if. In any case, if the hadith is sahih, if it is sahih according to those who declare it to be sahih, then the Prophet ﷺ used to fast on Saturday and Sunday. In that case, we would consider it as to be mustahab to fast these 2 days. However, for those who declare it to be sahih, then there's no reason to single out these days for fasting. And Allah knows best. And in any case, if one fasts them to oppose the people of the book, the Christians and Jews who have taken these days as special days, Saturday and Sunday as days of worship for them, then it is a praiseworthy act to oppose them, as the Prophet ﷺ in the end of his life used to prefer opposing the way of the people of the book. Whatever they used to do in the matters of worship, he used to differ from them in order to distinguish the Muslim community from the Ahl Kitab. Hadith number 566, وَعَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نهى عن صوم يوم عرفة بعرفة. That Abu Huraira reports that the Prophet ﷺ prohibited fasting the day of Arafah, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, for the one who is at Arafah, meaning the one who is performing pilgrimage. On the day of Arafah, the Prophet ﷺ prohibited fasting that day. رواه الخمسة غير الترمذي وصححه ابن خزيمة والحاكم واستنكره الأقيلي. And this hadith has been reported by the five except Al-Tirmidhi, that is Abu Dawood and Nasai ibn Majah and Imam Ahmed rahimahumullah. It was declared sahih by Ibn Khuzaym and Hakim, while Uqayli, he considered the hadith to be munkar, rejected. And likewise, I mean, he has mentioned it in his book, Ad-Du'afa Al-Kabir, and it has also been mentioned in other books as being rejected, and from amongst the earliest scholars, those who rejected it was Al-Imam Ibn Hazm and Ibn Qayyim, and of the latest scholars, Shaykh Al-Albani also rejected that hadith as being a weak hadith. In any case, even if that hadith is not authentic, it is at least known that the Prophet ﷺ, it is confirmed that he didn't used to fast, or he did not fast on the day of Arafat. He did not fast on the day of Arafat. It is authentic that he didn't fast on that day. However, the actions of the Prophet ﷺ cannot be used to indicate the prohibition of something, because he has abstained from it. However, what we can understand that it is preferable at least. Yani some of the scholars from this hadith, those who considered it to be sahih, they considered it to be prohibited to fast on the day of Arafat for the pilgrim. That is, if the hadith is sahih. However, if it is not sahih, then we can use some other hadith at least to show that it is makruh or detestable. And from amongst them is the authentication that the Prophet ﷺ did not fast on that day. Therefore, we should follow his example. And likewise, there is an authentic hadith that is reported in the Sunnah of Abu Dawud that the Prophet ﷺ said, يوم عرفة ويوم النحر وأيام التشريك عيدنا أهل الإسلام أهل الإسلام وهي أيام أكل وشرب. And the hadith is sahih that the day of Arafat and the day of sacrifice and Nahr and the days of Tashriq are our Eid days. O people of Islam, they are days of eating and drinking. From that also we know that it is at least detestable that a person fast on the day of Arafat if they are performing pilgrimage. The end of this section is hadith number 567. عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا صام من صام الأبدا. يعني that the one who fasts always, continuously, perpetually, then he has not fasted at all. Well, this hadith is متفق عليه, reported by البخاري and Muslim, and there is a narration for Muslim from the hadith of Abi Qasada رضي الله عنه with the expression لا صام ولا أفطر. He has neither fasted nor has he broken the fast. He has neither fasted nor has he broken the fast. And the one who fasts perpetually, it is in contradiction to the advice and the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet said, whoever does so, he has not fasted. And in the other narration, he has neither fasted nor broken his fast, meaning he has not gotten the reward for fasting because he has contradicted the Sharia. He has contradicted the instructions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So even if he abstains from eating and drinking, he will not get the reward for fasting. And he would also, yani he is not breaking the fast because he is not eating. And he is not fasting because he is not getting the reward for fasting. And there is an authentic hadith that confirms this. That hadith reported by Ibn Khuzaymah and others from Abu Musa, radiallahu anhu, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said that whoever fasts continuously, من صام الدهر ضيقت عليه جهنم. That whoever fasts continuously, then the hellfire will yani, be tight upon him, it will squeeze him. From this hadith, or from these two yani, narrations, we understand that it is prohibited to fast continuously or perpetually. And this is the stronger opinion of the scholars, while some scholars held that it is permissible. However, the hadith is clear concerning this. Likewise, we also understand from this hadith that it is mustahab, that one should avoid burdening oneself beyond what is necessitated by the Sharia. Because the Sharia is based on ease. Allah wants ease for you, not difficulty. Therefore, one should not place difficulty on oneself. And likewise, we understand from this hadith that it is detestable, it is makruh to be mutashaddid in the deen, yani to go beyond the bounds, to go to the extremes in the matters of deen. But what is required of the Muslim is that they should worship Allah according to the instruction and example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not trying to go beyond that. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I don't know if there's any time for question, comment or correction. Is there any time?